might let you remain standing this morning with our Bibles open to the book of Genesis this morning. The book of beginnings is what it's called, Genesis. The book of beginnings. And as you find the book of Genesis, I want you to be turning to chapter number 26 in that book. Genesis and chapter number 26 in the Word of God for today. I trust you found that place by now, Genesis 26. We're going to begin reading this morning in verse number 12 of that chapter. The Bible said, "Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year," and that is in the land of Abimelech of the Philistines. "And said, he sowed in the land and received in the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had great possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names which his father had named them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water." You know, I probably won't get to that thought, but there's a great thought there. We'll have to find ourselves, sometimes we will find ourselves in the valley. And if we got the grace, we'll be able to dig there and find a good well of springing water while we're living there in that valley. And he goes on to say, "And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitna. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared unto him in the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well." Let's pause to pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this morning and for the good Sunday school time that we enjoyed, the good Word of God that we received. I do pray now for liberty this morning in the house of God. Thank you for the good singing, how it rejoiced and blessed my heart this day. We do ask you to touch those that are sick here and those that are away from us. We ask you to help them as well. Help them to overcome, Lord, whatever affliction their body may be involved in. We ask you now to give us good divine grace. May souls be blessed and helped and families strengthened and encouraged today. We ask you, Lord, this morning to save sinners and use us to be a witness for your honor and your glory, and let all things be done to bring honor and glory to your precious name. And we'll thank you for it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for his sake we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. All right, two times in the text that I read to you this morning, in verse number 15 and once again in verse number 18, the Bible mentions there the fact that the Philistines had stopped the wells that Abraham had digged in his lifetime. They had stopped the wells. And when they stopped the wells, they stopped the flow of water from those wells. And I want to take that thought this morning, and I'll mention those again probably here in a little bit. But I want to take that thought this morning and preach on the thought of what stopped the water. What stopped the water? I think you'd agree with me that if we look around and take some serious inventory, we'd realize that the water of the Word of God is certainly not had free course in our assemblies, probably for longer time than what most of us would want to think. And so I want to preach on that thought. Who stopped the water? Who stopped the water? My mind went back to a message Brother Billy Ball preached here years ago. When he preached on when Miriam gets right, the church will go forward.
Right.
And I've kept that message in my heart now for a number of years. And so I want to preach on that thought this morning. What stopped the water? Now, let me simply say by the way of introduction that the people of Abraham and Isaac's day, they dwelt where streams of water was not abundantly available. For the most part, they dwelt in a dry and a barren land. They dwelt in a desert land. There were some water rivers, no doubt, but for the most part, it wasn't as plentiful as what we have here in America. And even as a boy, with the water that was readily available here, we had a well out back, and that's where all of our water came from. Somebody said, how did you get it in the well? Well, we put a trough from the downspout on the house and ran it out to the well. And the water, when it rained, God give us rain, it ran off the house and into the downspout, into the well. And I've seen the well at times overflow. At other times, I've seen it pretty low on water. When it got that low, we'd have to order a load of water from somebody that hauled it, and haul in water and drink out of that well. And so they lived basically in a dry and a barren land, and they found themselves in most places where they went that they had to dig a well in order to have water to drink. Now, during Abraham's life, his servants from the text that we read, we know that his servants had digged many wells. But when Isaac, his son, returned back to that country, he found that his father's wells had been stopped. They had been stopped up twice. The Bible says there that the Philistines had stopped up those wells. And then Isaac himself began to dig his own wells, but was immediately met by great contention from those Philistines that claimed that the water belonged to them. You know, I want to stop right there, pause right there for a minute, and make this statement, that as a child of God, that you cannot rely on Brother Hall all the time for what you need out of the Word of God. As a Christian, you're going to have to find yourself digging your own wells of water.
Right.
That is, get in the Word of God and find those wells for yourself.
Right.
Find a good thought in the Word of God that has touched your heart, and just lay with it. I mean, nobody says in the Bible that we're running a foot race. In fact, it said that we're to run with patience the race that is set before us. And, you know, nobody has said we've got to read through the Bible once or twice or three or 10 or 15 times a year. I'd much rather read and find a good nugget from the Bible and let my heart dwell upon that. And as the old timers used to say, like a cow chews a cud, just chew around on that verse for a little while, meditate on it, pray about it, and let that verse do something in my heart. So sometime or another in your life, you're going to have to dig that well for yourself and find your own water. You can't drink from somebody else's watering hole.
Right.
You'll have to drink from your own many times. We're all children of God. And God will see to it that He'll give you the water of His Word if you'll see to it that you spend enough time in it, digging for it, looking for it, praying about it. I'll guarantee you God will give it to you. Now, there was contention over those wells that the Bible said that Isaac had digged. In fact, the contention was so sharp that hatred by the Philistines against Isaac developed and was so strong that Isaac named the wells that he had digged Sitna, which means contention, and he named another one Esak, which means contention, and the other one was Satah, that means hatred. And so there was so much contention between the Philistines and the servants of Isaac that contention began to brew and crop up amongst them. And that contention became so strong that it developed into hatred. And you know, we need to be careful about that our own self. That contention not crop up in the house of God and become so sharp amongst us or against someone in the house of God that it grows almost into utter hatred for that individual. You're on dangerous ground when you get there. Can I say that in honesty? We are on dangerous ground when we get there. Now, water in the Bible often typifies the Word of God. Therefore, God's Word is like for all those who believe in Him. And drink from it. It's like a life-giving book. The Bible, the Word of God, becomes a life-giving book. There's no question about that. And this book that I have in front of me this morning certainly will give us life. There's no question about it. There's life in this Bible. And, you know, when the Lord was wrestling with the devil in the wilderness of temptation, and the devil said, if you be the Son of God, he said, why don't you just turn these stones into bread and eat? And the Lord made this statement. He said, for it is written, the Son of Man, said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And you know, when he said man shall not live by bread alone, he did not mean that man would not live by bread. Man does live by bread, food, but man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Somebody said, preacher, what is the difference there? Well, that bread that I referred to it to be at first is talking about a physical bread. Turn these breads into stone. That was a physical bread, and we've got to have that. There's no doubt about it. For our bodies to develop and grow strong, we have got to eat food in order for that to happen. And so that bread alone is talking about a physical bread. But then he turned around and said, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. That is talking about a spiritual bread. Now I'm going to tell you, man will not live by the physical bread alone. If that's the only bread you ever get, you know what's going to happen? You're going to die spiritually. You're going to have the Word of God in order to live a spiritual life, or to become spiritual and live a spiritual life. Man is not born of corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible Word of God, what? That liveth and abideth forever. I say this with no hesitation. I'm not worried about being rebuked about it. The King James Bible, as far as I'm concerned, is that Word of God. Now, I'm going to say something, ladies and gentlemen. We better learn that we can't live without the Bible. Amen. I saw a sign years ago in Louisville on their marquee, a church's marquee, and it said 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. Well, may I say to you that a day without the Word of God will make 1 week. You cannot live apart from the Word of God. It is a life-giving Word. There's no doubt about that. And it's water in the Bible is always typified to the Word of God if it's a standing water. The Lord Himself said in Revelation by John, in Revelation 22:17, and whosoever will, let him take of the water, what? Of life freely. Boy, I'm glad that God's given it to us freely.
There's no limitation on the water that this book has for you and I. The Philistines might stop it up, but praise God, you never have to worry about the Lord putting the dam in front of it. I'll guarantee you, He'll let the water of the Word of God flow freely into your heart and my heart, that we might live by the water, amen, of the Word of God. I'm glad this book is a life-giving book. Now, notice, when the water is stopped, get hold of this now. When the water is stopped, the Philistines, the Bible said twice, they stopped up those wells. And when the water is stopped, there can be no life. Now, we need to get a hold of that. Folks, when it comes to a place in the house of God where there's no liberty to preach the Word or to teach the Word, and if I can use it this way, those wells are stopped, then I'm going to tell you there can be no life.
That's right.
That's right. We might be saved, but I'm going to tell you what, there's not going to be much life in us. And sinners coming in from the outside, they're not going to find life either. This book is a life-giving book. And when it, if it is stopped up, if it cannot flow freely, if it cannot be preached with power, if it cannot be taught with unction, there can absolutely be no life in the house of God. And I'd be careful in my life and make sure that I wasn't guilty of stopping up the well of God and taking away the life, amen, from God's people and the life that it has to give the sinners as well. I'd be careful of that. Amen, that's right. Now, water is also in the Bible. Water is also essential for growth. Vegetation cannot grow without water. Humans or animals, if I can say, cannot grow without water. And you as a Christian, and me as a Christian, we cannot grow without the water of the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to remain stagnant. I don't want to grow a certain amount in my life and have a halt put on it. No, no. I want to continue to grow in the Lord. I want this church to grow up a spiritual house unto the Lord, a habitation of God through the Spirit in the house of God. Amen. And so we need to grow. We need to grow. In fact, Brother Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 2:2. He said, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that what? That ye may grow thereby. And I'm going to tell you what. When the water is stopped, there can be no growth. When the wells are stopped, there can be no life. When the wells are stopped, there can be no growth. I don't want to remain a midget all of my life in my Christian faith. No, I want to grow. In fact, I'd like to be a giant in my Christian faith. Amen. I want to know more about the Word of God and more about the God of the Word of God, more about the Savior of the Word of God, more about the Spirit of the Word of God. Amen. I want to learn from this Bible that I may grow thereby. Amen. Now, I've got to go right on. I want to say thirdly, that water is also essential for cleansing. I'm going to ask you a question. How many times have you ever taken a bath with soap only? Did you ever get the job done? When I was a boy growing up, they made that old, what they called lava soap. They might still have it. It was almost like trying to take a bath with sandpaper. When I was a kid growing up, our elbows needed some of it. Somebody say amen right there. And I'm saying, I'll tell Mama, what are you scraping? She'd give us a bath. I'd say, what are you trying to do to my elbow? She'd say, son, your elbows is plumb rusty. And what she was saying is, I needed my elbow cleansed. And sometimes, Mama, you that lava soap. And brother, I'm telling you, it was rough going. But here's the thing of it is, you can rub your body all day long with a bar of soap, and you're not going to get clean.
That's right.
But hey, You put that word on that bar of soap. Now I'm going to tell you what will happen. That bar of soap will begin to turn into foam and then lather. And through that, you can be washed. But it takes that water for it to happen. I'm telling you, it takes the water of the Word of God for you and I to be cleansed this morning. That Bible is like the labor was at the tabernacle. The people had to wash in that labor before they could ever get into the house of God. And I'm telling you, we ought to wash ourselves and bathe ourselves in that book before we ever come to the house of God. And we'll have to bathe in it before we can ever draw nigh to the Lord. Ain't that right? I know that's right. Now, you listen for a minute here. What Paul said in Ephesians 5:26. He said that he might sanctify and cleanse it with what? The washing of the water by what? By the word.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, hey, the Philistines stocked up those wells. You know what they stocked them up with? I don't want to get ahead of myself. Dirt, earth. They stocked them up with earth. In other words, it became mud. If I can put it like this, it was filthy. And ladies and gentlemen, without a good bath in that Bible, we're going to become filthy after a while. We might dabble around in it for a little bit. But hey, if we don't get thoroughly sanctified by the washing of the water of the Word of God, it ain't going to be long till our elbows, we're going to be like my elbows was before. They're going to be rusty. Say amen right there.
Amen,
that's right. Now, without that water of the Word of God, we're going to become very dusty. So, what stopped the wells? Without water in that well, when the well is stopped, there's no life. The well is stopped, there's no growth. The well is stopped, there's no cleansing. So what stopped up that water? Well, may I begin by saying that as far as we're concerned, and as far as they're concerned as well, it may have been stopped up by the flesh.
Right.
You know, the Philistines in the Bible are always a type of the flesh.
Man.
And it was the Philistines that stopped that water. You know, we got to be careful. We got to be careful.
Yes, sir.
Because the flesh is very filthy in its nature.
Man.
That's why the Bible said they stopped it up with earth. Dirt, if you mean. Hey, this flesh of ours, in it dwelleth no good thing.
Man.
And I'm telling you by nature, it's filthy, ladies and gentlemen.
Man.
Boy, and I'm telling you, all you got to do is just keep your ears open, little buddy. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, you'll understand what I'm saying. That this flesh of ours can become just about as filthy as a lost person can. Now, I know I'm on the air, and I'm going to be very careful in what I'm saying. But like Brother Gray said in Sunday school this morning, there was a float in front of my automobile last night in the parade. And, you know, and I understand folk. I try to. But here's this, I assume a church group, a church, and they're talking about Christmas, and they've got this song going at a rock and roll rate, and all I heard, all I could hear of it was, with a capital C, with a capital C. And I'm going to say, for about an hour, that's all I heard, with a capital C, with a capital C, with a capital C. And I'm saying, good Lord, can we not get beyond that? And you know what they were doing? By the way, here's what I'm on. About everybody behind that float were women. And they were with the capital C. With the capital C. Now, hey, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the flesh can get filthy.
Amen.
They may have been trying to glorify God for him, but I'm going to tell you, they were trying in the flesh. Now I'm going to tell you what it was doing. It was filthy. This flesh of ours, there's no good thing that dwells in it. And I'm here to say, hey, this flesh can stop up the well of the water of the Word of God from flowing in the house of God. We better be careful, buddy.
this flesh can get filthy.
Yes, sir.
And it'll hunt for filth.
Right,
it'll look for it. It'll seek it. You know why? Because it desires it. That's why the flesh and the spirit are contrary one to the other. It's what the Bible said. That's exactly what it said. They're contrary. So that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, come on in the house, children. That you cannot do the things that you would. You know, for so many years, I thought what that verse was saying was that because the flesh, that we cannot do what we would like to do spiritually. Wrong. It's reversed. The flesh is contrary to the spirit, that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, as a child of God, if we're a child of God, and if we possess the Spirit of God, we cannot do those things in the flesh that we would desire to do. We might get the thought, friend. Amen. And we might even get involved in it a little bit. But I'm telling you, it won't be long until the Holy Ghost will get a hold of you and will stop you in your tracks, cold in your tracks, if you're a child of God. Amen. That's right. So it's filthy in its nature. May I say it's selfish in its desires. They wanted the water. They wanted all of it. And I'm telling you, when we come to the house of God, you know who wants the preeminence here? Flesh. In all of us. We're all alike. I'm not leaving myself out. We're all alike. And I'm just telling you, the flesh desires. The flesh desires that water for itself. It's very selfish in its nature. It really is. It wants to be seen. It wants to be bragged about. It wants to be talked about. You take young ladies, they want to be charming and lovely and beautiful. Why? It might be talked about. But most of the time they have enough sense to realize it. When they get that way and they want to be talked about, they're being talked about in the wrong way.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
But
hey, young ladies, you better be careful. That little boy you think's Prince Charming, he may be looking at you and the thoughts in his mind. You may be saying, he's saying one way and he may be saying another way.
Amen.
I'd keep my eye on Prince Charming if I was you.
Yes, sir.
And to say, and girls, the same way goes for you.
Amen.
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 Boys, you better watch them little girls. They might be cutie pies. But in their mind, they may not be as cutie pies as what you think they are.
Right.
What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that we're all in the flesh.
Right.
And we've got to keep a check on the flesh. Me included. All of us.
Yeah.
Because the flesh let out, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you, it'll take control of everything.
Yes, sir.
It'll take control of prayer meetings. It'll take control of song services. It'll take control of preaching, teaching the Word of God. It'll take control of everything because it is selfish and wants to be seen. I want to say number third, that the flesh is haughty. Boy, I'm telling you, the flesh can get proud and haughty. There's no doubt about it. The flesh, they wanted the water for themselves. The flesh is haughty. Now, I've got a couple of errors running here. I don't know what they're running for. The flesh won the battle for the two wells. That's what I got here. The flesh won the battle for the two wells. But when Isaac digged that third well, he called the first one contention, the second one hatred. But when he dug that third one, the flesh had to turn back. Now, it doesn't say why, but they didn't contend for that third well. When Isaac digged that third well, he may have just come to himself and said, hey, this well is mine. And I'm not going to let the Philistines have it. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Every one of us in here ought to come to that conclusion. I am a spiritual individual and I refuse to let the flesh have dominance and control of my life. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Now, it became haughty. You know Proverbs 18:12. The Bible says before destruction. Before destruction,
yes,
The heart of man is haughty. The heart of man is haughty. Boy, I can just see them Philistines. Well, old Abraham dug these wells, but he's gone. And he's got a little old boy named Isaac. He's just a little young boy. We'll just stop up these wells. We've got our own water. We'll just dry him up. That's what the flesh wants to do, wants to dry us up.
Yes, sir.
Boy, you never even thought of that until right now. Flesh wants to dry. And little old Isaac, he just don't know nothing. We'll stop up these wells. And you know, praise God, we'll just have all the water for ourselves. And they got a little haughty and high-minded. But I'm going to tell you, little Isaac grew up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hey, when I first came to pastor here at Island Ford Baptist Church, 24 years ago, all they thought I was the sweetest thing, son, best thing since apple pie and ice cream. Well, they just loved on me. Well, he's just a wonderful, you ought to come to hear our preacher. He's got a lot of zip and zeal and carries on. He's just a wonderful little thing. And they just stroked me like you'd stroke the head of a little puppy dog. And then, but I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't long until I saw some things going on that wasn't right, and they continued to stroke that head. And they, one day, they stroked that head, and that little puppy dog that they thought was a little puppy dog had grown up into a pit bull. And suddenly that pit bull took a nip out of that hand. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm telling you, and Philistine said, what we'll do, little old Isaac is so young and tender, we'll just stop the water. But lo and behold, there came a day when little old Isaac grew up into a man, and they realized, the Philistines realized, they had a hold of somebody they couldn't handle, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, are you listening to what I'm saying? You and I are to grow up into God in a spiritual way, and let the flesh know and know uncertainly that we're going to serve the Lord. And not ourselves.
Amen.
And not ourselves. Now, let me say, so may have been the flesh that stopped up those wells. May I say, secondly, that it could have been a feud that stopped up those wells.
Right.
The Bible says that they contended for one well, and Isaac called it contention. The second one they strove for, and he called it hatred. Things had got real bad between Abimelech's servants and Isaac's servants.
Right.
And hey, may I say without any doubt whatsoever that a feud began and it brought contention. That's what the word Isaac means. You know, the Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride cometh contention. Boy, it's going to get quiet now. It's going to get quiet. But I'm telling you, those Philistines got real proud. They got real proud. There was a whole lot of pride. And it brought contention. Now, I'm telling you right now, folks, if there's contention here in the house of God, it's because somebody got real proud in their heart. Pride is a terrible thing. It brought Lucifer down.
Yes,
now I'm going to tell you, hey, if it brought him down, I guarantee it'll bring you and I down.
Amen.
God doesn't want us to be proud people. God wants us to be humble people.
Amen.
Full of humility.
Yes, sir.
God wants us to humble ourselves before him. And hey, if we'll humble ourselves before God, in due time, God will raise us up. And I'm telling you, it's always humility before honor. Amen. But then they got proud. They got real proud. Well, praise God, you know, I'm this and I'm that. Hey, we better watch it in the house of God. Well, I hold this position and I hold that position. And I'll do this and I'll do that. I'll give my mouth full when I want to give my mouth full, and I'll be what I want to be when I want to be. I don't care what the preacher's got to say. I'm going to do what I want to do anyhow.
Amen.
I'm going to do it. Go on. That's your prerogative. But when we get so proud in our heart that we do not want to follow the leadership that God's put here, or when we don't want to be involved in the things that God has put us involved in here,
right,
Whether it be the camp meeting or whatever it might be. I'm telling you, we're treading on dangerous ground. And the problem there is pride. I'll do as I please. Now, I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's a whole lot of times that I cannot do as I please. Can I give you a good illustration? I went to bed. I got up Friday morning. I was up all day Friday. Was going to go hunting with Brother Gray on Sunday and did. Or Saturday and did, rather. I don't know, on Sunday. But I went to bed on Friday night. Couldn't go to sleep at all. I do have, I'm not ashamed to tell you this. I've got medication. If I don't take it, this up here don't quit. This here would die before this quit. It just won't quit. And I laid there all night long. And woke up. Finally got up, went out and made coffee, took it back in my bedroom, sat down in there, opened my Bible, sat in there and read my Bible. Come time to get ready to go turkey hunting, I got up, put my clothes on, went turkey, and had no sleep at all. Drove around out there yesterday morning in them woods, got tired and wore out, sweat, put on too many clothes. I'm telling you, I was so tired, I couldn't drag. I told Joseph, I said, Jojo, you might have to carry me these last four steps to the truck. I don't really want to get there. They took all my stuff off of me, pulled my clothes, top clothes off of me and stuff. I mean, carried my chair. I couldn't do nothing. I was just out of it. I come home knowing I had to go to the parade and drive in the parade. I rode back in that green chair. I said, I'll get some sleep here. I didn't get no sleep in that green chair. Not one bit. Last night, now listen, last night, I'm talking about the flesh and the spirit. Last night, I got some medicine I'm supposed to take. Went to bed, I told Miss Hall, I said, 7:13. I said, I'm going to bed, try to get a little sleep. She said, honey, I don't blame you. I believe I would too if I was you. Hey, I forgot to even set the alarm. At 7:23 this morning, I felt a light hit me in the face. Somebody said, are you awake? I said, I am now. 7:23, 12 hours. But here's the point I'm trying to make. If I'd have done this morning what the flesh wanted to do, you know what I'd have done? I'm staying home. Now, come on. You can sit there and say, not me. I'm more spiritual than that. If you've got that attitude, you're probably haughty and proud. That's what I'm preaching on. But I'm going to tell you, when that light hit me in the eyes, if I'd done what this flesh wanted to do, I'd said, fool you on that. Turn the light off. I got a few more hours to go, babe. See y'all tonight. Let Brother Gray or somebody take over. And I'll see y'all on Thursday night. But I'm telling you, there comes a time when the Spirit of man and when the Spirit of God that lives in us has got to overcome this filthy, raunchy, proud, haughty flesh of ours. And rise up against it. And defeat it. Come out with victory. Amen. But it brought forth contention there. And then it also brought forth hatred. You know that's bad. They contended with one another. This fight contended with these people, with the Philistines and with Isaac, until it got to the point where they hated one another. They hated one another. Folks, I hope for my life, that nobody in our church ever gets that way. That we are so full of contention and so proud and haughty, and we got maybe a feud going in the church with somebody else. I hope there's not. I hope there's not a feud going with somebody in the house of God. It takes two sides to do that, and that means one thing, division. I hope that's not true. But we better be careful if it does. And I'm going to tell you why. Because here's what the Lord said in the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 11. He said, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that the darkness hath blinded his eyes. That's right. We better be careful. Right. If we get to the point where in our heart there is a hatred for our brother, the Bible said, if there is, we're in darkness. And he said, even until now. Can I say that? That if there's a hatred in your heart for your brother, It's even until, you're in darkness even until
right.
now.
Amen.
And there is no light because the darkness has blinded you. It's blinded you. Hey, you know what he's saying there? The people have got so full of hatred that they're so blinded by that hatred that they can't see no light. No, hey, no wonder people have problems. They're so blinded by the darkness that they cannot see any light whatsoever. I'd hate to live that way. Spiritually, I'd hate to live that way physically, wouldn't you? Blind. I saw a young man stopped in a rest area. I think Brother Gray was with me. Took me to the doctor. It might have been Brother Doug. It was one of them. It might have been Brother Steve. One of the guys. We stopped down there to Tennessee at the rest area. And I came out of the bathroom, and here comes this young man walking down with a cane with a big, long, white tip on it. Pop, 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 pop. Hitting against that wall with that white cane. He followed that thing right on around that curve. Went right on back in that, pop, 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 pop. Right on back in that bathroom. Over, pop, pop. Found where he wanted to go in the bathroom with that cane. I hate to be that way. I'd hate to be that way. I was sitting in Dr. Fang's office a few weeks ago down at VA and had the door open, and here come this man by, and he had a dog. That dog was leading him. I'd hate to be that way. But at least he had a guide. At least it. Now you listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. Are you listening to what I'm getting ready to tell you? This is the best thought I've come up with in a long time. That man was blind, but he had a guide.
Amen.
Amen. We got a guide.
Yes, sir.
We got a guiding light, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
And that light is the light of the world. Yes, sir. His name is Jesus, by the way. And can I say it with a capital J?
Amen.
Jesus will give us light that we can see by, and He will.
Amen.
Now, I've come to the close. Not only did that hatred, it brought forth hatred, but also that feud brought forth separation. Isaac, it's clear, Isaac and his servants, and Abimelech and his servants, separated one from another.
Right.
I hope that we don't get that way. That such a feud in the house of God would lead to separation where one would go this way and one would go that way. May I say to you, listen carefully, if one goes this way and one goes that way, one of them's got to be wrong. When you come to that crossroad and you take the wrong turn, you're wrong. And one of them had to be wrong. And I'm going to tell you who it was. It was a Philistine. You know why? They started the mess.
Right.
They stopped up the wells that Abraham digged with earth. And they started the mess. Now I'm closing with this. It may have been a flesh. It may have been a feud. But it may have been a family. The Bible says Abimelech's servants and Isaac's servants, two families. And so it may have been a family. It could have been the family of Abimelech that stopped up those wells. And here's the bottom line of it. Look at verse 14. For he had possession, talking about Isaac, of flocks and possession of herds, and a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. What's the trinity of evil? Envy, jealousy, strife. And where these three are, there is confusion and every evil work. God help us. I'd hate to think that it's a family. It may be stopping our water. I'd never want that to be. Not my family, not part of my family. Not your family.
a part of your family. Stopping that water. We've got to have the water. There's no question about it. Now, the question is, what stopped it? Whatever stopped it. Whatever stopped it. And here's the thing. This problem never got resolved. The Philistines never did go and say, Isaac, we've stopped up your wells with dirt. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to make things right with you. We're going to dig those wells back out for you and give you the water. It never was made right. It stayed wrong the whole time. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. If there's problems amongst us, if they're not made right, they stay wrong all the time. They'll end that way. And you know what? You'll stand before God with that problem. I'll stand before God with that problem if it's me. I certainly don't want to be me, and I don't want to be you. I want us to live together with love and harmony in our hearts, love for one another, work with one another, pray for one another. We pray for one another. You can't pray for somebody and really hate them. That's why the Bible said pray for your enemies. You can't pray for your enemies and wind up hating them. There's no way, no living way, no living way. And I don't want us to be that way. I want us to be a loving, caring people for one another and others as well. Let's stand together. Who stopped the water?